Well, this is going to be confession time for a minute. But the only reason it's going to be is because Carol's here. And so I'm going to confess to her. Because yesterday, when I went to Brad's thing, I had to pass Larry on the way. And Larry was going over the speed limit, just so you know that. I'm not actually repenting for Larry. I'm just telling you that I passed him, and I'm pretty sure he was going over the speed limit. Okay, just so you know. I was going over the speed limit because I knew between here and Selkirk, that was the only place I was going to be able to really make up time and not have to worry about it. You know what I'm saying? And I left a little late, and it's my own fault. But isn't that the way we work rules? Isn't that kind of the way we do laws? It's kind of the way we do a lot of things. As long as nobody's really watching us, as long as Carol isn't sitting beside me, I can push that limit. I can push it as hard as I want to. But when we live our lives, don't we kind of run into the same problem? In a lot of places. It's not just how fast we drive or how less we stop at that stop sign. I mean, all of us that have ever stepped into an 18-wheeler and run down the road, understand the rolling stop because it's easier. And back in the day, it was a lot easier when you were shifting a 4x4 and double clutching everything to make it work. You never stopped at a stop sign unless you actually seen someone that was going to care, right? But that's the way we do things. As long as it's not really going to touch us, it's not a problem. Or is it? Sometimes I wonder if we don't push our lives out there past what we really ought to at times. Make decisions on whether this is okay with God, and forget to really bring him into the picture. And so this morning, I want to wander, if you will, through the scripture here. John 21. And your bulletin will tell you it's John 21, 1 through 9. We are, or 19, we aren't going that far. Because we want to eat sometime this week. And I'm sure that most of you have heard plenty of sermons on Peter and Jesus and feeding Jesus' sheep. I'm sure we've heard that as long as we'd really like to. So we're only going to worry about roughly the first 9 verses today. And we're going to start with verse 1. John 21, 1. After Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael, from Canaan in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. What did you... You know, I've heard a lot said about this. That he was going back to where he started. He was changing his life. He was done following Christ. I don't buy that. What I really think is actually happening here is that Peter want something to do. Now, Peter was a fisherman. He was someone that got up every morning and worked. He was someone that wanted to start the day. He was a self-starter. To just sit around in Galilee and wait for Christ to come back, I'm telling you, that's probably not going to be Peter. He just doesn't strike me as that type of person. And let's get real. How many of us in this room would just sit and wait for that poor little guy to fall? No. sit and wait for Christ. Oh, we're going to stay in spirit. We're going to continue to pray. But how many of us stay at home and wait for Christ's return in our house every day? We get up, we go to work, we do the things that God has called us to do. These were fishermen. He's doing the thing that's natural. Now, I hate to tell you this, but since, as long as we're repenting, I guess, I'd just soon go golfing, okay? You know, I mean, let's get real. I would not sit at home. I wouldn't just sit there. So I don't think we ought to put too much into this, because this goes on to say, and they said, we'll go with you. He didn't go alone. They all went. All seven of them. They went fishing. They went to do what they actually were called to do, their livelihood. God has never called us to just sit at home and do nothing. God has never called us to be a bump on a log. I mean, all through the Proverbs, it talks about the fact that we shouldn't be slothful. It talks about the fact that we shouldn't be bums. It talks about the fact that we should do what it is God's called us to do. And I really believe that's all they're doing here. And so they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Now, I'm sure they told us that because we need to know. Okay? I'm sure that they didn't tell us that they caught nothing just so the rest of the story makes sense. Okay, that's why they told us, because we aren't that smart, okay? Jesus knows they haven't caught anything, but we need to know what's happening. We need to understand the situation. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" It's a pretty poor translation, actually. It shouldn't really say friends, per se. It should say children. And many of your newer translations will use children, which is a more endearing thought process than friends. We care more for our children. And the word here used for fish is not fish. It's actually a word that they use for anything other than bread. Something to eat your bread with. All he is trying to say here is, did you catch anything to go with your bread this morning? The end of your work day, so to speak. They've been out there all night. And why they didn't understand it was Jesus when he says, children, do you have any food to go with your bread? Why they didn't realize who it was then is the thing we have to think about here. That's part of the verses that we really have to make a little thinking on. Are we like that? Do we miss God's word? Do we miss His understanding? Do we miss His commands? Because we don't understand. Or because we're not listening. Or we don't hear often enough or well enough to really hear the words He's saying. And they said, "No," they answered. And He said, "Then throw your nets on the right side of the boat and you will find some." Now I find that interesting. And if you look at certain commentaries, they'll tell you that they never fished off the right side of their boat. That was abnormal. They always fished off the left side. Now I'm not sure if that's true or not. But if we go back to Luke 4, it says when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let the nets be." Start over. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down my nets." Now this is the first time. And I want you to remember here, he says, go out into the deep and let down your nets. He doesn't say to just let down your nets right here. Let's get real. Jesus is on the shore. They can see Him. They can have a conversation. They aren't in the deep. They're along the shore. They aren't going to catch fish in a net in shallow water. So there's two things here I think we have to think about. And that is that Jesus asks them to do basically two things that probably is against everything they know and believe in. One, they aren't going to catch any fish in the shallow part of the pond. The other thing is, He told them to cast their nets on the wrong side. Opposite of everything that they'd ever done. And they listened. They obeyed. They understood the command. Now, did they believe it had happened? Probably not. How many of us, when someone's telling us how to do something, and we're sure it won't work, but we have struggled and struggled and struggled and couldn't get it done, that somebody has walked up and said, "Well, do this." And because we are past our point of understanding the problem, we're at wit's end. In the back of our minds, we go, "Yeah, right, might as well try that. We've tried everything else." And it works. How many times have you done that? It happens to me all the time. I decided I wasn't that sharp. Maybe that's why. But the point is, they have struggled all night doing what they like to do, fish. And nothing happened. And when Jesus tells them to do something that is against everything they believe in, everything they have learned as fishermen, because Peter's already discussed that with him back in chapter 4, right? This is wrong. And then we go on, and it says, when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Not that they caught a few, but they can't even get it into the boat. This is way past what they're normally pulling in. And then it says, and then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, jumped into the water, and the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. For they were not far from the shore, in the shallows, about 100 yards. And when they had landed, they saw the fire burning and the coals were with fish on it and some bread. Guess we'll go a little further. Jesus said to them, bring some of your fish you have just caught. And Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore, and it was full of large fish. Large fish. I'm not a great fisherman, but I can guarantee you I've been to the lake often enough to know that the fish along the shore, the fish that are just a little ways out, are generally little ones. The large ones are in the deep. The large ones are down where it's cooler and nicer and more to eat and bigger things to eat. But even with so many in the net, even with so many, the net was not torn. They just hauled in this huge amount of fish. It says 153 fish. These are little fishing boats. I doubt they could get all 150 big fish in their fishing boat themselves. Yet it didn't tear the nets. This morning I'd like you to think with me in the fact that why didn't it tear the nets? Why would we need to know that? You know, I think a lot of times when Jesus tells us something, when God reveals something to us, we have a tendency to disregard what He has to say. We have a tendency not to really do things in God's power, but our own. We make decisions that we can't do things because we're sure that it'll break our nets. We do things because we really believe that He's got to be wrong. I've done this before. It doesn't happen that way. I've invited that person to church before and they won't come. Maybe they weren't ready. I've talked to that person about living their life for Christ and they weren't unhappy about it, but they weren't really interested. Had God really worked on them yet? Why would God ask us to do things that would break the net? Why would God ask us to go and till the soil? To plant a seed? To water a little bit? If He was sure it was going to break the net. As disciples, we aren't always going to be the ones that actually get to sit down and pray the prayer Most of the time, we're going to be tillers of the soil, planters of the seed, waterers. And if you've been in my garden, weeders. That's something that we have to do too. We have to pull some of that stuff back so they don't get choked out, even as they start to come to know Him. But God's never going to ask us to do anything He hasn't went before us to do. Now, there's times that we may decide that we have to go do something, but the soil isn't ready. God really hasn't sent us. We just want to see these things happen. We want to go plant a seed. We want to go till some soil. We want to make big changes for Christ. But we have to wait, because He's the one that's going to bring in the harvest. We have to continue to work, to till, to plant, to water, and wait for God's time, when He tells us to throw the net over the other side of the boat. I don't care where you're at. I don't care how deep the water is. I'm going to make you fisher of men. Isn't that what He told the apostles? When He called them, all He did was say, "Come follow me, I will make you fishers of men." And if you believe the Bible, they just dropped what they had, what they were doing, and they followed Jesus. They dropped their nets. They left Dad with the boat. We can always remember that when God asks us to do something, when Jesus speaks to us in that sweet, calm voice, that He's already done the things He needed to do so you're successful. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to You and we do thank You, Lord, for being our God, willing to walk beside us, willing to go before us, willing to be there every step of the way as we till soil, as we plant seeds, as we water, as we weed, as we get everything ready, that one day the field will be ripe with harvest, and that You will give us that kind of gain, that You will help us to be harvesters in Your field. Fishers of men, willing to fill the net to almost breaking, but never to break. And so we ask, Lord, that You go with us this week, that Your mighty hand be upon us. Help us to be bold in our understanding. Help us to be sure of who we are in Christ. But help us to remember that You are in control. You are going before us, and it's in Your time. We ask You these things in Your precious name. Amen.